public health officials are struggling to contain a growing outbreak of measles.
Measles is notoriously difficult to bring under control and expensive.
And GE's shares tumble after a downgrade from a JP Morgan analyst.
This is coming from an analyst who has been pretty negative on the stock for a long time.
And the U.S. is threatening tariffs on billions of dollars of goods from the European Union. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our big story this morning, growing concern over the spread of measles, here's what you missed overnight. Shares in General Electric tumbled on Monday after a ratings downgrade from JP Morgan's Steven Tusa. He's been one of the company's biggest skeptics, and his investment calls often have an outsized impact on the company's shares. Mr. Tusa said this time that investors were underestimating the severity of the challenges facing GE. Our reporter, Thomas Grita, has more.
You know, it's unusual for one analyst to move a stock so much on a ratings change, and part of that reflects how Wall Street looks to this analyst in particular for his wisdom, but also, I think, overall uncertainty in the stock. Investors have been burned a number of times by GE in the past, and I think any signs of trouble are sending them running.
And the U.S. moved closer to imposing tariffs on $11 billion worth of imports from the European Union. Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. trade representative, said the tariffs were justified due to the subsidies that the EU gives to the aerospace giant Airbus. Now, this all dates back to 2004, when the U.S. first brought a case against Airbus to the WTO. In announcing the proposed tariff list, Mr. Lighthizer said the time had come for action. Plus, the Trump administration blocked Major League Baseball from signing players directly from Cuba to play professionally in the United States. This nullifies a historic deal that the league had struck in December with Cuba's Baseball Federation. That deal would have allowed Cuban players who played in the league to eventually come to the U.S. via a safe and legal channel. The MLB expressed disappointment with the reversal. We're reporting that the move comes amid a broader crackdown on what the Trump administration calls the Troika of Tyranny: Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. Now, our main story this morning: the spread of measles across the United States. It's accelerating, according to new data released late on Monday. The outbreak all started in a community in New York City, as our reporter Betsy McKay told Anne-Marie Fertoli.
Betsy, this outbreak, now in 19 states, is largely tied to an outbreak in New York City. Remind us how this started and how it spread so quickly.
Yeah, that's right. The New York City outbreak is the largest one in the U.S. It started when a child who was in Israel, where there's a large outbreak going on, child was unvaccinated and became infected, came back to New York, and many people in that child's community are not vaccinated, and the disease began spreading from there. It's concentrated in New York City in the Orthodox Jewish community.
Betsy, is this at all related to fears over getting vaccinations?
Actually, you know, vaccination rates are fairly high in that community, but people sometimes delay vaccinations for their children. So some studies have shown in the community that school-age children are vaccinated, but 1 to 4-year-olds are not. With measles, measles is so highly contagious that if you don't have really high levels of immunity in the community, meaning a lot of people vaccinated, it can start spreading really easily. So that's what's going on. And the spread of this is accelerating, meaning that this past week, the number of new cases is the largest weekly increase that has occurred since the beginning of the year. The number of cases goes up every week. There were 78 new cases this week. Back in February and March, there were usually like 20 or sometimes 40 new cases. So the other worrisome thing about this New York City outbreak is that it's actually spread to Michigan. Someone who was also in Israel, but also in New York, went to Michigan, and it began spreading there, just outside Detroit.
What are the challenges public health officials are now facing as they attempt to control the further spread of the disease?
Well, measles is notoriously difficult to bring under control and expensive. it's a highly contagious disease. It's so contagious that if you go into a room where an infected person was up to 2 hours after they were there, that person is no longer there, but the virus is still floating in the air and still active. You can be infected. So what public health officials and doctors need to do is find people who are infected and then talk to them, find out, you know, public health officials do this with outbreaks regularly, but it's very difficult with measles. You have to do what's called contact tracing, find out where they were, who they were in contact with, and then try to find all those people. With measles, you know, if you were in a supermarket or at a sporting event, literally everybody who was near you or there was potentially exposed. And so it can turn into thousands of people, and trying to track down all those people and make sure they're vaccinated, try to convince them to get vaccinated, make sure they at least know about this, is really, really challenging. And as the number of cases grow, that job just gets harder and harder and harder. So that's what's going on right now.
Just in case you're wondering, the percentage of a community that should be vaccinated in order to prevent a measles outbreak from spreading is 95%. We've got more information on measles, symptoms of the disease, what to do if you or someone you know seems infected, and info on the MMR vaccine at WSJ.com. On to markets. Investor interest in the bond sale of the world's most profitable company, that's the Saudi Arabian oil giant Aramco, not Apple, was strong. Our reporter Mike Bird has more.
One of the biggest stories in global markets this week is the debut bond issued by Saudi Aramco, the state-owned oil giant, which has been very slowly opening up to Western investment in recent years. As the world's most profitable company by miles, with a net income around twice as large as Apple's, Aramco has been a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for Western investors, with a planned IPO that just never seems to materialize. Instead, it's brought its debt to market. The bond sale is expected to end today and generated about $60 billion in orders from investors, which is far more than it intends to sell, and allowed it to price at very cheap levels. Some of Aramco's bonds even look like they'll yield less than the bonds issued by the government of Saudi Arabia, suggesting that they're being bought by fund managers who can't buy Riyadh's government debt because of their investment mandates.
And now, the SCED, which, by the way, is the term we use internally when we're figuring out how to schedule the newspaper's stories. Here's what to look forward to later today. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin will testify on Capitol Hill. House Democrats are likely to press him on whether the agency intends to comply with their request for President Trump's tax returns. Now, if you remember, last week, the chairman of the House Tax Writing Committee formally requested that the IRS turn over Mr. Trump's returns by April 10th. However, over the weekend, Mr. Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, said the president would refuse the request.
This idea that you can use the IRS as a political weapon, which is what's happening here, is incorrect both as a matter of statutory law and constitutionally. We should not be in a situation where individual private tax returns are used for political purposes.
And Israelis head to the polls in what's expected to be a close race between current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his main challenger, former General Benny Gantz. Our executive Washington editor, Jerry Seib, says that if Mr. Netanyahu wins re-election, it could have a big impact on U.S. diplomatic efforts in the region.
The Trump administration is going to have to think hard about its own attempts to get a peace process going in the region. That has been a goal, at least nominally, of the Trump administration, and particularly presidential son-in-law Jared Kushner. If there's a Netanyahu win, I think the way the U.S. approaches that whole question is going to have to be recalibrated.
And the chief executives of the largest U.S. banks plan to tell Congress this week that the financial system is less risky and more tightly supervised than it was a decade ago. They will argue that's due to a series of regulatory reforms implemented in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. The hearing marks the first time since February 2009 that the chief executives of the major banks have appeared together at a congressional panel. Finally, more than 75% of people between the ages of 18 to 23 believe they should be promoted in their first year on the job, according to a recent survey. That trend has managers scrambling to figure out how to manage young employees' expectations without driving them out the door. So what's the best solution? Tweet us at WSJ Podcast or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. Now get to work.